Blog Talk Radio.
You just don't understand. Girl, you've been charging by the hour for your love. I'll try to show how much I love you, still believing in romance. You're taking way too many chances.
Overboard.
Hey, Curtis, how you doing?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Nobody
can hear us here, but...
Yeah, everybody can hear you, man. Don't do it. The wide world can hear you.
The mic is hot.
You know, I tell people, look, treat your microphone and your camera like a gun. Like, it's always loaded and it's always on.
Exactly. Yep. Amen. So, how you guys doing?
Good month. Black History Month. But
you boys staying in, y'all staying in some big trouble?
Not good, but quite a bit.
Only kind of trouble to be in. Hear John Lewis tell it.
Exactly right.
Good trouble.
Stay in some good trouble, fellas. Stay in some good trouble, fellas.
Well, this is a good month to be in good trouble. So I must say so myself. We're going to be in good trouble. What better month than February?
Exactly.
Yeah, man. I bet. All my life, I've been trying to figure out what George Benson is talking about in that song right there.
You figure that?
No.
But you know, Leon, when you think about it, think about it. Most of the song you listen to, you have to go back sometimes, 15, 20 years later to figure out what the heck they were saying. You be sitting there one day, sitting there with your headsets on and listening to the song. Wait a minute, that's what he said? Man, I had it wrong all this time. Yeah.
Like the song Brick House, right, with the Commodores. I didn't know he was actually saying a word when he said house. I thought he was saying ow. I don't know, man.
Hey, I'll tell you something else.
I think I found that out last year.
I'm getting into old music. I'm going back, man. I'm listening to Johnny Taylor and Wilson Pickett and Iceman, Jerry Butler. That's some good music.
Oh, so you're talking about the music.
I'm telling you.
You're talking about the music that was out when you were, you know, young.
I don't think I was probably a baby back then. I think Clyde and those and Cecil and Wade were probably listening to it. But I could hear it, but I never got into the lyrics of it. I just knew it was a good little beat going on. Like this song I was listening to, this song by what's the guy's name? I Believe in You, You Believe in Me. Is it Johnny Walker or somebody? That guy was singing his behind off. Good music.
Was it Johnny Taylor?
Some of those old songs. Johnny Taylor, that's it. Johnny Taylor. Man, that boy, that's some good music back then. I ain't going to lie.
That Johnny Taylor, that's a singing joker, boy. I was listening to that joker the other night, boy. That joker can sing.
That boy can sing, couldn't he, Joe?
That joker, boy. That joker, I see why he made it. Moving in, moving out. That boy was singing, boy. Just told it.
Remember that?
Yeah, but you're going to show the people why you didn't make it.
I was listening to that song. I was just thinking about it. I wish y'all would have really gotten into that song when it was out. You see what I'm saying?
Joe, yeah, I'm telling you.
It's your lady.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that was John.
The one I like. Robert, you're right, though, about I Believe in You. Doom, doom, doom,
mm-hmm. doom, 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 yeah, doom, man. Doom. Oh, man.
Yeah,
do it, Leon. I've been sorry.
One thing I can say about the people of the world today. If you would take it away, would I believe in you?
I believe in you.
All right, break it up.
You believe in me.
Y'all break it up.
Okay, I'm sorry, man. We got carried away. We'd have to get
Y'all get another carried away.
We have to bring some real background singing, like Brenda and her sisters, like the Colson girls. Now they can do some good background probably for us.
Right.
That's what's happening, hey, folks.
You ain't brother had no background. You already got five jokers singing.
Oh, you need some leaders? Is that what we need, Joe?
Maybe.
Okay.
No, really.
A whole new group. Hey, man, we need to get behind the scene like Tito and Jackie and Marlon are doing now. They stop singing and start producing. Is that like the elevation of where you're supposed to go? You stop singing at some point and start producing like the Silvers did? Like,
if you got some money,
it sounds like a natural progression.
Yeah,
it's kind of like what people want to see athletes doing. Once they've played really hard and showed that they're the best, then you want to see them to progress to be a coach, a general manager, a owner. You know, you just want to see that, you know, that talent continue to be utilized to its maximum. But unfortunately, that's not the way it happens. Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith and Jalen Rose and people like that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Jalen Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you got those boys. What's going on?
I was just going to say this, boys, and while you guys were talking, I went ahead and looked up this song, Turn Your Love Around, because I really want to know what he's talking about, man. I mean, because I really thought he said somebody, you've been charging about an hour for your love. I thought he was talking about a prostitute. But it turns out he wasn't. Check this
out. What are you talking about?
The song was written by this dude named, Jay Graydon, Bill Champlin, and Steve Lukather. Anyway, it says, the line, girl, you've been charging by the hour for your love, led some to believe this song is about a prostitute. In a song facts interview with Bill Champlin, one of the guys who wrote the song, who wrote the lyric, I was thinking more you've been making me pay emotionally or intellectually. But some people took it, you've been charging about an hour about being a hooker. In my mind, it wasn't. It just seemed like a good idea. You see what I mean? These guys be writing stuff out of their head. They probably, I ain't going to say that. They might have been on something. But anyway, you know, why wouldn't you think he was talking about a hooker? He said you've been charged about an hour for your love.
That sounds pretty.
You know, that's, I guess that's the smart thing about writing stuff. I guess that's the genius behind
it. It goes to show you too, a lot of people don't buy the song for the words, because I didn't know what he was saying. I didn't even thought about it, didn't give it a second thought. But at the same time, you had to be careful with your words.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Name drops the high enough this. When I go outside, nobody will know I'm crying. Mm. How I wish it would rain.
Yeah, you know why he wanted to. You know why he wished it would rain, though.
Yeah.
So tears, the tear stains.
Hide the tears. Yeah.
He tells you in the song because
that's deep. Right there. I like that.
And no way
I like that.
I'm crying.
And so when you go outside, won't nobody know you're crying.
And that deep, that's deep right there.
That's real deep there, buddy. That's a deep there. Sunshine, sky, please go away. A girl has found another and gone away. With her went my future. My life is filled with gloom. So day after day, I stay locked up in my room. I know you might sound strange, but I wish it would rain.
Oh, how I wish it would rain.
All right. All right.
I want to go
outside. This is two shows where it's a lovely day.
But everyone knows man is supposed to cry. Listen.
Hey, brother.
Y'all gonna run all the listeners away on Black History Month.
Y'all singing like you've been beat as slaves were. Anyway, I should say that.
Running off, scared to count on and turn on the radio because the Gatewood boys out there trying to sing how I wish it would rain and how they wish we would stop. How they wish we wouldn't sing.
I'm gonna tell you.
Oh, how I wish that y'all would sing.
How I wish that they don't sing.
Okay. Ooh, 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 ooh. Okay, guys, check this out.
You don't find out what
the right question. I have a serious question, guys. It's a serious stuff. Okay. We're down here in Hanson County where COVID is really hot, man. I mean, it's like jumping from, it's like walking up to your doorstep, knocking on your door. Check this out. So, we're down here giving out masks. We probably giving out about 5,000 masks by now at the Holler Center. We're giving them out, bro. You know, Walmart and CVS and them giving them out one at a time. We're giving them out, 20 at a time. I don't know why they still stingy with them at those other places. But anyway, we have a partnership with NC Counts and Healthier Together. But what I want to ask you guys is, I had a young man come in here, a man to come in here the other day. You know, he was vulnerable. You could tell he was, as far as health wise. He had like an oxygen thing.
Other side.
Anyway, we better keep talking. So he had like an oxygen thing in his nose, but he said he had a daughter. She wouldn't get vaccinated. And the grandkids, she won't let the grandkids get his grandkids. She won't let her kids get vaccinated. And he said, Mr. Gatewood, I want to see my grandkids. I want to hug them. He said, but that's like risking my life. He said, so I'm down here to get these masks. When my grandkids come, they be outside crying. He said, but I can't let them in, Mr. Gatewood. He said, because I don't want to die. So And he was really sad, you know. So I want to say to those out there listening to me, if you, I don't know what your reasons are for not getting the vaccine. I just don't know. I can't figure it out. But it's not for me to figure out. It's not for me to know why you don't. I can't, you know, get it. I don't see the reason why you can't or won't. But if you won't, please figure out why. Please understand you're putting your grandparents, your parents at risk. They're crying out, man. I mean, I don't know what else to do. I mean, you know, we're making sure they have masks. That's the best I can do. Make sure they have masks and give them rapid tests. But other than that, man.
I was looking at the statistics on the vaccinated and unvaccinated. At first, I read it on the internet, and then I saw another set of statistics on TV this morning. They say if you are unvaccinated, you are 10 times more likely to contract the disease. And they say if you are unvaccinated, you are 17 times more likely to be hospitalized if you get it. And they say you are 20 times more likely to die if you get it. Mm-hmm. Unvaccinated. And they say they got the numbers to prove it. 20 times more likely to die.
I guarantee they have the numbers to prove it.
And then I saw some on TV this morning. They were showing something. They had Dr. Fauci and all talking. They said if you've been vaccinated, your chance of dying from the coronavirus was something like 0.01. And then they showed the other.
In other words, Joseph, the chance of getting struck by lightning.
About the same.
How many people you know that's happened to?
Right. But then they'll go out here and find one person that had been vaccinated and died, and that's what they go on. That's what they go on. And I got enough of this. I know. Two of them got the COVID, and of course, and they had been vaccinated. They got the COVID, but they said the only way they knew they had it was they tested positive. They have a runny nose or something. And the other young lady got it, unvaccinated. She was in the hospital on the young lady. These are personal experiences. So, like you said, Leon, why they won't take that vaccine? And I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna shut up. This virus is no different from any other virus that has plagued mankind, any other virus that has come through. It's no different. The only thing that's different is the attitude of the people. That's the only thing that's different. That's the only thing that's different. We've had plenty of viruses that come through. Matter of fact, there's a virus they said that came through and wiped out a whole species of human beings. And one of the top three ways that human beings become extinct, I mean, these statistics, numbers were here way before the coronavirus. One of the top ways that human beings can come extinct is by a virus. So viruses are real. They ain't nothing to play with. And the only thing that we have had to sustain mankind to this point, to keep us from being completely, from us becoming extinct by viruses, has been vaccinations. That's the only thing we've ever had.
I heard one African-American say they were not going to take the vaccination because Farrakhan said, don't take it. However, this person was eating a sausage biscuit, as they said it. And,
right.
As you know, Farrakhan talks all day about not eating pork. However,
right.
You know, people just have this selection thing they're going on. Going on with this virus. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why. But this is what I tell people. If you're scared, just say you're scared to take it. Don't come up with these strange reasons. You're looking
bad,
man.
Dumb. No, I don't want to hear no dumb stuff. I tell a joke. Yeah, I had a joke of a man. I talked so much trash to him. He came to my office talking about anti-vaxxer stuff. I talked so much trash to Flat Joker. Somebody said, did he still pay you? I said, yeah, he paid me. I said, but if he hadn't have paid me, I wouldn't have cared because I'd rather not even see him again.
Right.
Because I told him right there in my office, I don't want to hear no dumb today. I don't want to hear it.
Stop.
I got three daughters working in health, two daughters working in health care, and my daughter just told me the other day right up there in the University Hospital, they have three per people to die from the COVID. All three of them had been unvaccinated. One in the 30s, one in the 40s, and one in the 50s. Three died in one day. And they said all three of them had been all three of them unvaccinated. But you know,
well,
I got
all three of them African Americans.
She didn't say what the race was, but Peter said there were three of them died in the same day up there in the hospital where she works. All three of them were unvaccinated in the 30s, the 40s, and the 50s. Well, I'm saying, you know, you got real numbers like that coming after your real life situation, not something you saw on television or read in the newspaper on Facebook. And see, that's what a lot of people are going by. They're going by this dumb mess they're getting on Facebook. And they don't know that a lot of this dumb mess that they're getting from Facebook is coming from people that's trying to kill them, coming from your enemies, coming from your adversaries. That's where this information is coming from.
Right.
And I'm done.
You digress. Well, look, it is pretty crazy, man. I can't quite explain it. Maybe somebody else on the line can explain it. Let's see. I think we got some callers on the line. Let's see if they want to talk about it. Robert, you go ahead, man. I'm going to check on these callers, man.
Hey, man, I'm going to change this topic just a little bit. We have this, are you back, Leon?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I was looking at a story yesterday about a school district was being sued by, I think, some parents for they couldn't teach black history because they were being accused of offering critical race theory. And so now people have used this CRT as a buzzword to pretty much whitewash black history. And it's a craze that's sweeping the country. If we're not careful, regardless of how you feel about Black History Month, this could be the last year, the way things are going.
I'm glad you're bringing that up, Robert, because that's a serious topic, especially as we enter Black History Month, because this racist stuff out here, what they're trying to do is make sure children are not taught anything that they perceive to be negative about a country that actually stole land, killed people, occupied, used racism, oppression, slavery, and everything else to build America. They don't want any of that mentioned. And so that is outrageous. That is just, you know, the devil coming in declaring, we're not going to let you know the truth so that the truth may set you free. We want you to lie or not mention the truth that we want told. We do not want our children to know about their history. We do not want children to know the truth about American history. We do not want them to know the truth about the Native Americans who were slaughtered. We don't want them to know the truth about the African Americans and African Americans not only slaughtered during slavery, but so much after slavery through Tulsa, through Elaine, through Rosewood, through all these places where racist whites murdered black people. Wilmington, all these different places. So this is they try to give it a name to act as if it's a real issue. But the only thing they're doing is trying to make sure white supremacy at the end of the day is the law of the land and continues to be. So people need to wake up. It's not about black history. It's about truth. And whether you call it black history or whether you call it white history or whether you call it American history or world history, people just need to know the truth.
It doesn't have to have a label. We don't need white supremacists putting labels on things, and we don't necessarily need to put labels on it ourselves. We just need to teach the truth.
Curtis, you're exactly right. I think what's particularly insidious about this is that you have people that are committing, they're committing some of these abhorrent acts as we speak. And it's almost like they're saying, look, we want to do this right now. We want to continue our dirty deeds so that
right.
when the time when history writes itself, talk about what I'm doing now.
Right.
It's like they're erasing, they're taking a, you know, you walk through the sand, you take a little brush and wipe the trap, right, the footsteps away. They're trying
yeah.
to hide the footsteps of the redlining they're doing right now, of the voter suppression
exactly.
they're doing right now, of this violent
exactly.
insurrection that they're doing right now. They don't want that told. That's what they're trying to do. So,
exactly, Robert. You know, I associate it with the ball. You remember you used to have that ball of white out. And
right.
if you typed something or wrote something and you wanted to just get that little white brush, it's a metaphoric form of whiteout. It's actually whiting out history that would come in conflict with white supremacy. So they used that whiteout. They did the same thing to the Bible when they made the slave Bible. They gave the slaves a Bible of their own. They took out, they would white out all the stuff about Moses coming to liberate, set people free, let my people go, confront Pharaoh and all that. They would white all that out and get a Negro the Bible and turn to the page where it says, be obedient to your master. Women, be obedient to your men. All that type of mess. Nothing that Jesus said, but just some mess they picked out, cherry picked out of the Bible to try to teach to the slaves and make the slaves think that they're supposed to love their white masters more than they love themselves. Of course, that's the problem right now. So it's a continuation. They're doing it through the Bible. They've done it through. Now they're taking the history books, and it's just a shame and a disgrace. And this is really time to sound the alarm, really, because
but check this out,
Jesus
Curtis.
Made clear for those who love Jesus, all the pastors, all everybody out there be concerned, because Jesus made very clear that you must know the truth, and if you don't, and if you have a lack of knowledge, then, of course, it's a detriment to your entire people. He said you can't even be a priest if you reject knowledge, and I would reject your children. So if we're allowing the rejection of knowledge while sitting solemnly, then we're doing a whole lot of people a disservice, including God Almighty himself.
Well, Curtis, you're exactly right. When you said we don't have to call this CRT, we don't even have to call it Black History. Just call it the
yeah.
truth. If you're worried about your child being ashamed of history, if you're worried about your child being feeling guilty, then don't do things that make them guilty or ashamed.
Exactly.
Do the right thing, and you won't have to worry about how they're going to feel or their feeling being hurt. If you live a just life, if you practice justice, if you practice righteousness, you don't have to worry about what your kids are going to be feeling. You only have to worry about that if you've done dirt.
Exactly, right. Robert. And Robert, I will not let people refer to my ministry as Black Liberation Theology. People have tried. They would say, Darren Gatewood, this is Black Liberation Theology. I say, no, it's not. It's truth. Don't label
That's right.
This
and
is not
and
Black
what
Liberation
you...
Theology. This is true theology. This is truth. I don't want it to be put in a box. I don't want it to be marginalized. I don't want it to be packaged. I want it to be
right.
the truth. That's all I want to do is preach the truth.
That's right, and you know what? And if history was told accurately, you wouldn't need to label it Black History.
Right.
Well, I've been saying, I'm just as interested in white folks knowing white history as I am Black people knowing Black history. Because if white people knew white history, they would know the history of Black people. But they don't
right.
even know their own history. Because see, they're doing
exactly.
more suppression. They're doing more to suppress white history than they are Black history.
Right.
That's what a big suppression is. And again, like I said, it's a good thing you've taken that approach, Curtis, that you don't want to be put in a box because the only thing we want is the truth. That's
exactly.
the only thing we want.
It's truth.
Exactly.
Right.
You know,
we're not the same Bible that Billy Graham was preaching from. Billy Graham just didn't tell the truth. Frank Graham is not telling the truth. and Joel Osteen, they're tipping toe over across the truth. I'm preaching from the same Bible.
Right. That's right.
That's deep.
And I'm not trying to say that everybody out here, or everybody who's white, is a racist or a bigot. All I'm saying is that let the truth be your guide. If you're not sure which side to be on, you don't have to pick a side. Just pick the side
exactly.
of truth.
And anything less than that, Robert, is evil. Anything less than you, anytime you're trying to hide the truth, I don't care how you're trying to do it. And that's why we have so much corruption in some of these organizations that's supposed to be black organizations. Sometimes they want to hide the truth depending on who's corrupt and who's not. If you just do the right thing, everybody, just do right. Be truthful. And then let the chip fall where they may.
That's right.
Okay, brother. Here we go. Here we go, brothers. Keep it real for a minute. 3 out of 10 of our kids aren't getting it anyway. You hear me? 3 out of 10 of our kids aren't getting it anyway. So what we need to do is the call to action. The call to action is to teach your history in your homes, teach your history in your houses, teach your history in your community centers, teach it in your churches, teach it. We have to teach our history. We can't depend on those guys. We already know that. That's not going to work.
Nope.
It has never worked.
Look how long we've been waiting for it to work. I know when we first started the radio show, I remember us talking about the school system. Because what a lot of people don't realize is we are still operating under that Horace Mann curriculum, and the Horace Mann curriculum was not designed to teach. It was designed to make. It was designed to control you, and to make
exactly.
you a good citizen. It was not
exactly.
designed to
train. There's a difference between an education and a training. People got to understand that. We were being trained. They even used to call them training schools. That became too conspicuous, so they stopped calling them training schools. When mom and daddy was going to school, they called it a training school.
Yeah, Anson County training school.
Yep.
That's what
they, to train Negroes to be Negroes.
That's right.
Hey, you got to check this out. I'm gonna get even deeper on you. Another strategy right now is that the racists, what they're trying to do, and I'm going to keep saying this because I don't want people to think that when I say racist, that's not synonymous with white. There are racist people, and we've had some good white allies through the years. I mean, Goodman, Cheney, and Schwartz, people came down and marched for voting rights in the South who were killed. So we don't want to put them in that category. But there are a group of people who are just downright have evil in their heart. What they don't
yeah.
want to do is for those fair and progressive whites to join the cause. And that's another reason behind this teaching, this demonization of critical race theory, is because if you get those just and progressive whites to join, then it makes those racists even weaker. It's like what happened in Wilmington back in 1894. It's like what happened, you had the progressives, the poor white farmers, and the black newly freed slaves actually came together, and they became the majority. So when that Wilmington Rebellion came out, they broke that up. That is what they don't want to see today, and because they know that if the progressive whites can learn history, if they would learn what went on, many of them are going to fight it. They're going to rebuke it. They're going to rebuke it. And so that's what they're trying to prevent. They don't want these progressive whites to join with the blacks and go out here and
right.
make this into a real just democracy.
And Robert, I'm glad you brought that out because in one of Dr. Martin Luther King's books, he talked about that. He said that was the whole purpose behind segregation. The whole purpose of segregation was not to try to make, in other words, it did try to make white people feel like they were superior, but the whole purpose was to keep the newly freed slaves and the working class whites, keep them separated and to prevent them from forming a coalition that would overthrow the aristocrats.
Yep.
That was the whole point, man.
And that's another objective of this fighting the critical race theory is because they don't want these two groups to come together to form an alliance.
Come together.
And so it's more directed really at that group than the black people are going to get their history eventually. But
that's right.
If you make it harder for fair white people to find out the dirt that has taken place, that's where the problem comes in because you're trying to keep that coalition in the dark.
That same 1.6% of the population, that led this nation into that civil war that ended up killing 625,000 Americans and mutilated or maimed another million and burnt down the South. That same 1.6% of the population, that's who was fueling all of this division to this day. That same 1.6%.
Yeah, and it's mainly when that Occupy came out, that was a movement that kind of like went past us really quickly. Occupy, and they used to talk about the 99% or the 98%. I forgot how they put it, but they were right on target with really laying out the problem is about that 1 or 2%. And that's what they were basically saying. That's why they had the Occupy on Wall Street and all that. They were actually targeting that 1 or that 2% that's creating all this confusion. They're the ones giving them pumping millions of dollars into those talk show hosts like Rush Limbaugh and all those types of folks to keep them ignorant, to keep them confused, and they're pumping all that money into the Foxes to tell the news to the hen house. The hens that are looking for truth, the fox is the one telling them the news. So those are the people that are investing on all this ignorance. And that's why that saying was so important that a lot of times people don't say it enough. If you think education is high, you check out the price of ignorance.
But I'll tell you something. It's like from my experience. My experience, when you're dealing with the average working class white person out here, these people are very decent people. They're decent people. I mean, I have a lot of customers of the plain working class white people, and they come into my office. They call me Mr. Gatewood. They buy the insurance and they pay it on time and don't be giving me a whole lot of bull with it. And really, if they're racist, I can't detect it. But what I'm saying is, you got this group of people at the top that goes in and try to infiltrate the minds of these people to create the division.
The white supremacists.
And just like a man and I were talking today, and we were talking about just like racism is evil. It's evil. But you remember what the Bible said, the root of all evil is what?
Avarice. Money. Love of money. Yes.
The love of money.
Yes.
That's the root of all evil. So it's behind all this racism that we see, it's about profit. It's about profit. It's about money. And these devils at the top that don't believe in number of money, they will destroy everybody, black, white, anybody in between for that dollar. They don't care.
Yeah.
That's right. They
let me give you a word for faith real quick, if y'all don't mind, since we're in Black History Month. And I do just want to put in a word for faith because that is one place where black people have been able to go. It did not cost them anything. You did not have to be a part of a certain league or a certain club or a certain clan. You could go on your knees and talk directly to God who has power over all of this. And I think if we could return to that type of faith, that is what it's going to take to get us out of some of this mess that we're in. I think we became too educated and too smart to think that we need God anymore. And even if you don't serve God, if you serve something as Dr. King talked about in the moral arc of the universe, how it is long and it bends toward justice. If you just want to be moral and say, I don't care about any religion, but I do want to be right. If you don't want to talk about religion, if you just want to be right, even that is going to bend toward justice. So the key is we need to go back to that faith. And if it's not going to be faith, something that is moral, that's really moral, that would just have some regard for mankind and the poorest of us and the least of us and the ones who are most likely to be hated and mistreated. If we could just go back to that, regardless of what you believe, and I guarantee you any religion worth the salt is going to be about justice, about treating people the way you would like to be treated. And if we as black people, if we are not the ones pushing that when we have the least, when we don't have the power that we should have economically, if we are going to walk away from those principles, what can we expect? We are in trouble. So we need to adopt a form of righteousness. I say it's faith. Yeah. And for me in my house, it's the Lord. But if it's not the Lord for you, it needs to be something, and you need to get it quickly, and it also needs to be something that will give you courage to stand against wrong, regardless of who is wrong. If it's your friend, if it's the most powerful so-called man, whomever it may be, it's got to be something that will make you stand, because if you do not, black people, poor people, other oppressed people are not going to survive. This is a matter of death, life or death.
And, you know, it's encouragement in a statement I made today. I said, right now, we are in a bad situation as a nation. And the main reason we're in a bad situation as a nation is because now the oppressors, the oppressors, the racists, the elite, these people are the same as they have always been. They're not going to change. And people need to understand. These people are not going to change.
Right.
But right now, we have allowed too many black people to change.
Exactly.
We like I said, we don't have that same spirit of unity and understanding and caring for one another like we did during the early civil rights movement.
Yeah.
If we were trying to put ourselves up out of slavery. We have lost that.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem we have right now. Right now, you get black
people.
Yeah. You get black people in the positions of power. They're not trying to use those positions of power to pull other black people up or other oppressed people up. They're trying to use that position of power to push themselves up. And then, of course,
exactly. And see, like this music that we listen to, our young people listen to, it has nothing in it that talks about doing right. And that is a problem. We just think it's too cool now to be wrong. We think it's cool to hate other black people and to shoot and to kill black men and to disrespect black women. That's what the song and the music is saying to us. Nobody goes to church. Nobody goes to anything that will uplift or feed that moral fiber, that justice fiber, that love fiber that is so needed for poor and oppressed people. Racist white people are going to do what they do. They're going to oppress. If anybody who's following oppression, and regardless of what color you are, but if you are carrying out oppression, you are working for Satan. You came but to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's what you came to do. But we know people who are righteous will know better. We did not come to kill. We did not come to steal. We did not come to cheat. We did not come to lie. And that's what black folk, we used to have that moral fabric in us, in our spirit, that gave us that spiritual wealth over the oppressor, and there was nothing he could do to stop us. And if we don't get it back, our game is over.
And we got too many black people. I'm going to say this. We got too many of our people out here right now. They'll see our oppressors doing stuff to exploit our people. And instead of them speaking up, doing something about it, they'll duplicate it. They'll start trying to do the same. And the Bible tells you, take not the ways of your oppressor. Don't do what he's doing. Tell you don't do that. But we got right now. They go out here and see some kind of little scam, some kind of little scheme or something somebody got going on to take advantage of poor people or working people. Instead of them speaking up and doing something about it, they'll go out and see if they can do it. See how much money they can make doing it.
Get their own version of it right there in their little crumbs. They don't even have the power. They're wrongfully connecting each other. They're wrongfully setting each other up. They're wrongfully framing. They're using self-oppression, self-hatred, the same type of stuff we see that's conspicuously playing out in the street. It's happening in churches. It's happening in organizations. It's happening in educational institutions. It's happening in politics. It's happening everywhere. And we have to stop the hate against each other. And if we do not, we will not survive.
Amen.
We need to teach each other. The key is for that's destroying black people. You have an institutional attack, and you also have an internal attack. And so what we need to understand is we have to figure out a way. Somebody's going on with what's that? Anyway, we have to. I don't know what that is. But we have to address both intelligently, spiritually, psychologically, politically, morally, internally. It can't be just one. If we do just one, it leaves the devil open for the next avenue. We have to put on the full armor. We have to address every lane of destruction right now, because, you know, you saw it in our history. As soon as we thought we had gotten our little wealth economically, if we didn't address it from the side of systemically, then you allow the people with power to come in and tear it down, take it, rob it, and there not be any law that would stop them. So we have to address the full court press here. We've been attacked by a full, and we have to have a full court defense. We have to look at what's going on in our community from every level. And if we do not, we are going to be destroyed. We are being destroyed, Leon, Robert, Joseph, if we do not open our eyes. And I love our show because we're going to open some eyes.
Amen.
Ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen. Brothers and sisters, look, check this out. Curtis, you know you were down here in Williamsburg, well, Marvin, a few months ago, a couple of months ago, maybe three. I had this situation where two young men got killed at the car wash.
Right.
Anyway, just today, one day this week, or last week, they were having a rally about that. Pull the community together. So here's what I want to say right quick. Ladies and gentlemen, find a way to get something in your children's heads besides what they're hearing on TikTok.
Amen.
Facebook, YouTube.
Amen. Amen.
Whatever they listen to in their headphones, I promise you. Whatever they put in, if you walk in their room and they have their headphones on, take the time to say, let me hear what you're listening to, baby.
Because
if they're not already listening to it wide open in the house. I mean, they probably a lot of homes that listen to it wide open. It's not like it's a secret, you know, because mom and dad listen to it. But
until we
can get past that, until we realize the destruction we're causing amongst our own people, our very own people, until we get that part straight, we're in trouble. I don't know where
brother
decided to do that, but until we get that part straight, we're in trouble. And I'm going to say this, and I'll yield back to you, brothers. Teach black history at home. Teach black history in the church. Teach black history in your community centers, your holler centers, all those other places. Teach it. We're going to have to teach black history.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that because our kids are failing at an alarming rate
in
whatever class they're taking. If they're taking history, they're probably not getting the stuff anyway. The teachers teach it. So what we need to do is make sure we get something in them when they get home, when they go to church, when they go to
mm-hmm.
the centers.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do, it's our responsibility. Like we just said earlier, those guys,
mm-hmm.
white supremacists, are going to do what they want to do, what they do. They're going to do what they do.
Absolutely.
You get me?
They have not.
They're
going
to do what
yep.
they do. We need to change or be more aggressive in what we do.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
They're not going to get any better.
Exactly. Leon, I want to tell you this, man. I have a press conference that's going to take place on tomorrow, and I'm saying this because I want people to start thinking. This is not a press conference to promote any personalities. This is a press conference. The scriptures, it's rooted in scripture. The scripture says to the church and those who profess to be a part of Christ's, his people, Jesus says, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and then glorify the Father which is in heaven. There's a lot of glorifying the Father, which is good, in churches, but there's a part we are missing about letting your light so shine that people may see your good works. Because, see, what these young people are missing, Leon and other brothers, is they are seeing people on the streets serving as models. And, unfortunately, the models that they are seeing are models who basically been pushed out of society, been marginalized, and they have become a part of a cycle of criminality, a cycle of crime. And unfortunately, these are the examples that are left in the streets for these young people. But if the church folk would come out of their hiding places, the Bible also talks about don't let your light shine or be hidden or covered under a bush, but put it up on a hill where it can be seen. And so don't keep saying you're about goodness, you're about righteousness, but you're not in the street showing your righteousness. You're not in the street showing your good works. It's not being seen by these young people who need to see. They're in darkness. They are in that period where the Bible talks about weeping will endure for a night. But they are waiting on that joy. They are waiting on that light, that morning that comes out. And I say it should be people of faith who act like they really believe in God. So if you believe in God, number one, it means you should have courage because we do have the scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So if you have that courage and you have that power and you have no fear, you should be out in front of these youth already. What Leon is saying is, communities, it should already be happening. We shouldn't have to keep preaching to preachers. We shouldn't have to keep preaching to missionaries. We shouldn't be preaching to deacons. The deacons should be out doing good deeds. The missionaries should have missions. The trustees should be trusted. So it should be something that's going on already, but the church has been overtaken by Satan. And I will say it again. The average church has been overtaken. They are silent. They are not allowing their lights to shine. And so I'm saying to that people can hear it. I'm not here to try to judge anybody, but what I am saying is that we all should try to let our light shine in a way. And I'm not saying that means being perfect, but at least it means that you shouldn't be hiding while all the drug dealers are visible and the church people are absent. Why aren't we
okay.
out there smiling and being good to our neighbors and shaking our neighbors' hands and telling these young guys we love you and God loves you? It shouldn't wait until, unless they come to their church and put money in the tithing plate, that they know that God loves them, that they know that I love you. They should be out there hearing that from preachers and other people and teachers. They should be encouraged, and they should be told, because see, once you get into the street, then you can tell them about their music. Then you can tell them about their pants being hanging down. But you can't just come in and you don't even know these people and act like you're going to tell them something for you don't care about their struggle. You don't care about their troubles. If you show that you care, then we can talk to them.
Man, you're preaching. Let me tell you, Kurt. Here's what happened when I first, before we let our caller speak right quick, before we invite our caller in to speak. You know, I'll tell you this, when I first came to town, when I was out here just running all up and down the road, then found that stuff, kept hearing, oh, he just want to be seen. He just want to be seen. He just want to be seen. So I finally put wrote a letter to the editor. I said, you guys, look, excuse me while I shine, but we got kids being murdered every day. We got people being on drugs. We got kids flunking out of school. I got to be seen doing some good. Somebody's got to be seen doing some good.
Exactly.
Otherwise, they'll think naughtiness
exactly.
or evil is the word.
It,
I mean, that's what you're
exactly.
supposed to be doing. We got to
yeah,
call on the line.
We
got to give us some time. Brenda, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
Great. Thanks
hey,
for calling in to the Brothers for Real Radio
God
show.
God bless you, Brenda. Always
I know your
you.
Ears are full. But we want to hear from you right
well,
now.
Well, it's full of things that people need to hear. And
right. And
I just want to add to, like you said, about our children teaching at home. And I always thought that, well, that's what I did with my children. You always teach your children what things they should learn and know at home, and then you send them to school to enhance. But it has to start. Everything has to start at home. When it don't start at home, it's just a lost case. It's just you just send them to school because a lot of schools are not teaching. A lot of schools is not giving educate. They can't. A lot of kids are coming through, which I can verify they can't read. And then when I get them at the end of the day after school, I'm helping them with their homework and I'm trying to get them read. They're looking at me trying to make a distraction so I won't know that it can read. And I said, nope, tell me what this, and they can't read. So you have to start at home. I know with my children, this generation is not raised like our children was. They're not there. They're not doing it because I monitor what my children listen to. I monitor what they saw. I monitor all of that stuff. And then I even monitor where they went to school because all three of them went to a private school. But then I realized in some of those, they're not teaching everything they knew. You're giving them the money, but still some of those are not teaching. And I had to take a stand on that too, and I'm giving money. And I'm doing most of the teaching at home. And I'm like, why if I'm paying you and you're not doing what you're supposed to? So you have to teach Black history, whatever. You have to start from home. To parents, realize that. But see, we got a problem with that because children are raising children, and they hadn't got it in the beginning anyway to know that. So that's when the church fall in. They're supposed to be the teaching of those ones, but they're not doing their dues, just like Curtis said. As long as you come in there paying tithe, they'll recognize you. If you're not paying tithe, they're not going to recognize you. So they're not in the street. They won't get in the street. They're not going to get in there. And that's why we got preachers in the pulpit telling people not to get the COVID shot. I'm testing on everything. Not to get the COVID shot. But then they're dying because they didn't get it. They're leaving here because they didn't get it. I know I had an issue with the COVID shot, but when it touched home, when my nephew got it, when three nephews got it, and I seen what they went through, but I got it before then. And a lot of people out there, they are afraid of the unknown about the virus. They don't know.
Right.
But see, when I was in the nursing field, that's why my daughter's a doctor. When I was in the nursing field, I always researched everything. And you tell me something, even in the pulpit, if you say something to me, I got to go research the Bible, see if you're teaching the word. So
right.
I research a lot of things. So people are just taking what they read, what they hear. They're not researching what, but they realize their life is in jeopardy and their family life are in jeopardy when you don't take the shot. And look, I got the shot, but then after I got the shot and my nephew that hadn't had the shot, he got it, and it was like life and death, and I had to kind of take care of him. It's like it hit home. A lot of people are not taking it till it, and it's too late. And that's why we just got to bombard our children with learn, teach at home, get it in the community, church teaching, having free this, free that. Because you, I know if you brain free, they come. If you say it's free, they will show up. So we got to do better as a community, as a church, especially the church. We got to stand firm and start doing what we need to do to let the children out there see, like Leon said, you got to let them see you doing something positive. You got to let them see you trying to do things so they can say, I want to be like him. I want to do something. Because a lot of them don't have that role model at home because it's a one house, single house. So I agree with y'all, with y'all come up. And thank you for all y'all doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me tonight. Our time has run out already, man. Isn't that crazy? Anyway, I want to tell people again that we're distributing masks. We are distributing rapid tests here at the center. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 10 till about 4. If you catch me here, no matter what time it is, we're going to distribute them. We're not getting people to take the vaccine like we'd like, so we want to make sure our seniors and other vulnerable people have the mask because for some odd reason, people are not taking the vaccine. But we want to make sure, like I say again, people, we have enough masks for everybody. I tell you what, I'm going to Concord tomorrow to pick up about 10,000, maybe 20,000 more masks that I'm going to bring into this community. Make sure our community has masks. So please, tell everybody, masks are at the Holler Center. Masks will be down at the Caraway Foundation Center in Andersonville. And we're going to even distribute masks. We're going to drop some off in Albemarle tomorrow. So we're just going to make sure people get the masks. You know, these school systems are starting to drop mask mandates. They're protesting against it. Heard one of those Karens saying the other day on the news, if you marvel, I don't know why you can make a child. She was crying, too. I don't know why you can make a child wear a mask for 8 hours a day. Anyway, it's just crazy stuff out here, man. But anyway.
Leon,
what you got, man?
I just want to say before we close out, there is power in diversity, and diversity doesn't have to necessarily mean a different race. And I like the diversity that we have on this radio show. I think the Gatewood Brothers are a secret to some of our, I think, ability to reach a large audience if given the opportunity, if given the platform, is that there is a serious level of diversity amongst the brothers. And, you know, some of us, we speak from different perspectives and different experiences. And so we need to understand that we can appreciate diversity wherever it may be. There could be a lot of diversity already in our community, and sometimes we frown on it because, again, we're emulating the oppressor. If you're not thinking like my group, you're not thinking like my clique, if you're not thinking like my little church, well, we don't like you. But we need to appreciate the diversity that's in our community, and I certainly appreciate the diversity that's on this show.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, man, I know we're not going to talk about this, but congratulations on your award that's coming up, man. God bless you. Proud of you.
Thank you.
Couldn't happen to a better man.
All right.
We'll talk about that next Wednesday. How about that?
Oh, man. Well, God bless you all. Thank you, man. I'm humbled by you guys. I appreciate y'all. I love you so much.
Man, you're a powerful guy, man. You know, and most people that know you know it. Let me put it that way. But like we know, the devil is busy. He will try to tear you down. He tries to tear the powerful people in our communities down. But we're not going to allow it to happen. Darn it.
Oh, man.
Probably playing some of that old school, ain't you, boy? We out here, ladies and gentlemen. The brother's going to hang around a little bit and talk about a little, chew a little fat. But you guys can hang around if you like. But that's what we're getting ready to do right now. Boy, man. Let me tell y'all something, man. We got King's Elite Cheer Squad downstairs right now. Rehearsing at Allison. Earlier today, we had D'Angelo Gatewood tutoring math for young men downstairs in Allison. Yes, sir,
Lord,
man. There's a lot going on in this holiday.
God be the
it
glory.
Never rests.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Wow.
This joint never rests, man. So here's what we're doing now. We have a rites of passage group, about 10 young brothers. We're going 52 weeks. Our cousin, Lee Hardison, Judy's husband. Lee Hardison, one of the brothers that comes in and volunteers and spends time with these brothers twice, once a week on Saturdays from 10 to 12. He comes in from Brown Sowell, Curtis, probably your classmate. Some other brothers coming in to spend time with these young men. We're going to do this 52 weeks, each Saturday from 10 to 12. And D'Angelo, since he's going to be here until March, and is a math whiz, one of the valedictorians of Anson High School, he's going to be here to do math tutoring every Wednesday from 5 o'clock, starting at 5 o'clock.
Leon, if you have any of this in writing, what they're going to be doing and those time slots and how much time they're going to be spending, if you have any of that in writing, could you please send it to me, brother?
Can you come down and spend some time with us on Saturday, man?
Yeah, huh?
Can you come down and spend some time with the brothers on some Saturdays from 10 to 12?
Yeah. That'd be definitely
great.
Good ones. I probably have to work on some of the ones that are coming up, but I definitely will arrange it. And Leon, like I said, if it's like if y'all doing this like a couple of hours on a Saturday, this Saturday, or, you know, however you're doing it, let me know, because it could be something that we can try to duplicate with some of what I'm trying to say needs to be done by the church. You know what I'm saying?
Got to cover.
So if y'all already have kind of like a pattern that you all are using, that template could definitely be used for other places that we can try to have set up across the country, across, you know, different parts of the state.
Got you covered, brother. We're going to get all that to you, man. Robert Spencer, Tyrone Davis right now, man. Reach the turning point. Man.
Amen. Yeah, that Tyrone Davis was tough now, too. Tyrone, I was a big Tyrone Davis fan.
Oh, man, not the OJs, Robert. Don't do me like that. Come on, man.
Can't help it, man. Can't help myself.
Hey, Curtis, look like we got gate four on the line, bro.
Who is that?
Robert was on the original gate three, but the Dave was a... Okay, my bad.
Yeah, Daniel probably is the gate four, but we made him gate three when Robert took a miss. Mm-hmm.
Man, we got people listening all the way from L.A. I'm talking about Los Angeles, California, man. Shoot.
Is that right?
Hey, y'all over there on the West Coast. That's where the Super Bowl is going to be.
There's a party going on. That's why they missed it.
Robert Parley, that is something.
I'm
telling you, man, you guys are a powerful team, though, man.
That's good stuff, boy.
This is good stuff. Powerful team. Hey, man, I'm gonna have to say over and out, brother.
I hear myself.
God bless you, man. Good night.
Hey, brother. All right, brother.
Good morning, everybody.
We're gonna save.
singing.
Mm. Good music in the world, boy. You tell me, man. I'm hooked on music. I'm hooked on music. I am addicted.
I'm gonna tell you, dog.
I love me some good music, boy. Sometimes, man, I get in the car, I get home, I sit there and listen to like 4 or 5 songs before I get out the car.
I know, man. I didn't tell y'all the school system donated a piano to the Hollis Center today, didn't it? I didn't hear that part.
Piano,
man.
Is it a baby grand?
It's not a baby grand, man. You know, not like a baby grand, right. But hey, that's next. That's next, man. I'm out of here, Bob. Bless you, brother.
All right, bro.
We appreciate
good
you
job,
doing
man.
This. Offering us this platform, man. We appreciate that. More power to you,
trying
brother.
Trying to make a difference, brother.
You say you're trying to retire this year?
And let me tell you, I put in my paperwork today.
Get out.
I'm out of here, buddy.
Man,
I'm out of here. I'm gonna keep working, but you know, I'm always gonna be on the case. I gotta do what I do, but you know, I'm just kind of I need to chill out a little bit more. I need to go back and take care of my personal thought. Self-action. I want to write another book. I want to do some other things that fulfill my purpose on another level. That's what I'm up to.
All right,
brother. I'm out.
Later. Love you, man. Be good.
Yo. Likewise, bro.